Podcasting 2.0 for October 30th, 2020. This is episode 9, and here come the pioneers. Kind of like the pilgrims. On a couple of ships sailing across the big podcast ocean. Everybody, it is.
It's the wrong holiday. You're a month early.
Podcasting 2.0. You know, I didn't even have a cool intro name for you today. Gosh darn it. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Jones, everybody.
No, it's okay, because, like, if this was, Good Morning Vietnam, I'm like that little, you know, like mealy mouth guy, the corporate guy that nobody likes.
No. No. You're totally.
It doesn't matter, because we're all going to end up, like, the way this week is going, we're all going to end up on Substack anyway, charging $5 a month. So, hey.
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited about Glenn Greenwald leaving The Intercept. And
I am too.
And I think, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails already from people saying, hey, man, you really got to help Glenn out because, you know, his audio sucks and he's going to be doing a lot more podcasting. Like, well, I don't know if I can help him with everything, but we can certainly help him with some things. That Substack thing, though, if you think about it, I love numbers. It's I think the default option is $50 a year. That's the default subscription level they have on Substack. So he has to move. He's probably making $500,000. Or was making $500,000. So he has to move 10,000 people to pay. I think he's got that audience.
I think he's got that easy. I mean, he got me yesterday within 5 minutes.
I mean, I subscribe. I pay for it. I did the $50 option. I did the same for Matt Taibbi. These are two of the best journalists I know. I love those guys.
That's what I posted this morning. I'm like, if I hope no more journalists keep going to Substack, because I'm going to go broke. I mean, I got to. You feel like you got to support these guys. I mean, as soon as they say, hey, I'm getting screwed and I got to go independent to keep my, you know, to keep my integrity. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, you're getting my $5. I mean, that's automatic. You know, I'll cut off whatever other stupid subscription I don't even know about anymore, you know, and slide it over there.
If only we had a way to manage that better. I'll have to think about that. Dave, how's your week been, man?
Busy. It's been busy.
I should point out that both Dave and I have actual jobs, like I think everybody else who hangs out at Podcast Index and is developing or on the podcastindex.social, demanding jobs. So I'm honestly amazed that we're all still kind of standing here, especially you. I know that your week started off with a non-IT gig.
It's funny with IT, you don't ever know what's like that. That's part of it. You don't know what's coming. Everything throws you curveballs. And so, I mean, you always have to be, you know, you've got your regular IT, which is just day to day operations and all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then at any moment, you know, it doesn't have to be just a crash. It could just be like, oh crap, I got to deal with this. You know, it's just, you know, you get one of those every 2-3 days, you know, so.
It's, yeah. Usually for me, it's like a computer crash. That's a disaster when I have a computer issue.
Oh yeah. I bet. Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Whenever I reboot my Surface Pro 6, which I use for the studio exclusively, even if it's an update, I think it'll come back up. It'll blue screen and it'll tell me the error is IRQL is not less or equal than, and then it tells me it's gathering some important information with a little percentage counter, and then it reboots and then it's fine.
That sounds like standard Windows behavior to me.
Oh, that's what it's supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah, it's a Microsoft product.
It was a nice little smiley face. At least, you know, it's a blue screen with a smiley and a QR code. It's very hip.
That's insulting to me. Don't give me a smiley face when you it's a Surface Pro or Surface Go.
This is a Surface Pro 6.
Okay, so it's a Surface Pro. It is a self-contained device. You can't add anything to it.
No.
You can't put cards in it. You can't put RAM in it. You can't swap hard drives. There's nothing you can do on the inside of this device. Correct. And it's built by Microsoft, and the hardware and the software is built by Microsoft, and they're sold together all as a as a package. So, and somehow it blue screens every time you boot it.
Yeah.
And IRQ not less than or equal. That is a driver. That is 99% of the time a driver issue. So Microsoft has a self-contained unit that they sold to you that they cannot write sane drivers for.
Well, to be fair, I have a lot of crap hanging off of this machine. You know, I got two monitors hanging off of it, external hard drive, an audio interface.
Okay, you're triggering my rant session here because, all right, if you go back and, you know, I do, I don't know even what you call it, full spectrum IT work from, as my day job, it's everything from, you know, server stuff, software development, end user help desk. I mean, there's nothing that is off limits in my job. If it plugs into a wall, I touch it.
Right.
And so as part of the end user stuff, like if you go back 10 years ago, and you plug in dual monitors, triple monitors or whatever, that stuff was rock solid.
It worked.
It worked every single time.
It did work. Once we brought in HDMI, it got tricky.
Or USB-C.
Oh, USB-C. That's the real problem, yeah.
Oh, it's all USB-C and Thunderbolt and DisplayPort.
Right,
when those are all kind of flavors of the same thing.
Yeah.
When they brought that stuff in, multi-monitor went berserk.
Yeah.
And you can't, you can't plug in two monitors anymore and be assured that they're going to work.
Yeah.
And, like, we took a step backwards here. That's why, you know, I always ran on this, like, with self-driving cars and all this kind of stuff. It's like, yeah. Show me. Yeah, sure. We can't even plug in two monitors.
I'm still waiting for my refrigerator to order the milk automatically. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, we can't plug in two monitors and make it work. And you can't get your car Bluetooth to connect every time. But you're going to have the car drive for me? That is some big time BS.
So this kind of leads me into a topic for today. Okay. Because a lot of these things, I think, are developed in vacuums. Yeah, we have testers and there's all kind of stuff, but it's so hard to create something, certainly if it's software based, and understand all the use cases and how people are going to do stuff with your software. And this became so apparent to me this week. It was a big aha moment.
Tools.
Yeah. So I'll give you the high level assessment and then. Yeah, let me start with that. What I'm feeling is we've had a decade of lack of innovation in podcasting for a number of reasons. The main one being that this was usually driven by the companies that create RSS feeds, seeing as they have the most invested in creating additional functionality that they can offer to their customers, their podcasters. The chicken and the egg was that the app developers, and let's just say Apple, because that's really what this has been about, because they were also not just a popular app to use for podcasts, but they were also maintaining the index, the default index for most. And now later Spotify has been added to that. It's been a question of, well, we want to add this, and will you guys get on board with it? And then, of course, you know, you have all kinds of what we've seen go in a very fast tempo with the namespace at Podcast Index, or at least on the GitHub, never got anywhere because it would just be a back and forth and a meeting. And the most egregious part, although not anyone's fault per se, is the users were completely left out of the conversation. Yeah, sure, the people in the conversation also have podcasts. But here I am, and this was very frustrating. I'm a co-founder of the project. We we've put this together to combat a whole bunch of issues to move podcasting forward. We come to an agreement, not even agreement, but we're working on chapters. And chapters is already supported. The whole reason that the was it the, who was already supporting chapters out of the gate? Was that
on the app side?
Yeah, on the app side, Hypercatcher. So
And I think
Podcast Addict, maybe
Podcast Addict has got it in beta, and then Martin was working on it in Podfriend.
Right. So this is working. I mean, the work is being done, and now it's kind of the reverse. So everyone's sitting around testing with one feed that has a chapter tag in there with a JSON file linked by a URL, and the JSON file has the chapter markers in it, and I'm like, holy crap, this is so cool! I want to use this because when I use this, this is my thinking. When I use this, I can say, on my show, or I have several of them where a lot of people listen, a lot, I think in aggregate, maybe a million people on a weekly basis. I say, oh man, I've got this cool new feature. Check it out. If your app doesn't have it, then check it out on Hypercatcher, Podfriend, or Podcast Addict, which I think in my mind would make everybody happy because they're developing apps. They want the apps to be used. They want people to use the apps because of the art that is created with that. You know, the way it's laid out, that's per individual developer. That's very different. And there's a new feature. I am what people think it's a very rare case. I don't really think so, but I do not have a hosting company. I, you know, because of the size of the amount of traffic that we push, we have our own little CDN, which Void Zero maintains up there in the north of the Netherlands, and it's through OVH. So we've built our own little CDN, and I create my feeds with the Freedom Controller, which you built. And we were at this point where I'm like, oh my God, this, we can really push this forward, because the way I look at the situation as a user, and I'm a podcaster with an audience, is if I'm using this and people like it and there's apps for it, it would be a much easier call for a hosting company to retool. I understand what goes into it. I have my non-developer voice lots of times, but I really do understand what goes into creating this stuff, certainly at scale. And if you're a company that's like most are just struggling to get by, just trying to make it all work for everybody.
Yeah.
That would drive that adoption with some assuredness that, it would be used, because if I'm using it, other podcasters look at what I'm doing and they'll say, oh wow, this is great. So I thought that I was in the perfect position until I realized, well, actually, here's how it went. We did our show on last Friday, and I said, Dave, I know what you're working on. You got a whole bunch of crap. Don't worry about the feed, because the previous two episodes, you were hand coding the feed and changing things, which takes a long time. And I foolishly said to myself, I used to do this shit. Don't worry about it. Give me a text editor. I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
And, until I then realized how much the data in a feed has changed. I mean, back in the day, we didn't have to escape characters, and we weren't even thinking about that. And then, oh my God, there's like, I mean, the margin for error was so so narrow. I mean, you know, you screw up one thing in the feed. Now, I have experience with screwing up my feed, a lot of it, and it's very, very painful. When I screw up a feed, I will be answering emails and having people tweet at me for days, if not weeks sometimes. And to this day, where are the images in the Podcast 2.0 feed? Where are the images, the older No Agenda images? How come there's two episode 1286? Well, I can tell you, feed shit ain't easy. But here I am, arguably a pioneer, ready to do stuff. And everyone's going like, well, and I mean, literally, that's the noise I got back. And I was, as you could tell, I was freaking out
on the screen, and I didn't even know how to read it.
I was flipping out. I'm like, I said, I desperately want a party. I want to play in this playground And so
you were flipping out. You called me and you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do? I don't know. It's like, I want to use chapters. It's sitting right there and I got apps that can do it. And I there's no tool. How do I create a chapter?
Yeah. How do I create a chapter file?
And then how do I get it into the feed once I've created it?
Exactly. So this chicken and the egg is stopping right now. And I will say, Martin, pod friend Martin, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I'm going to be transparent, as we always are. We offered to pay Martin to do this because I realize it's not necessarily benefiting his own development to create something so that I can just manage the feed and put in the cool elements that y'all are working on. And he refused. He said, no. There'll be none of that. But that's how desperate I was to get a tool just to be able to do it. And he went on a marathon 48-hour hackathon and
busted his ass.
He did, and came up with the RSS builder. And I am deeply, deeply grateful, really so grateful for that, because now, and I'm expecting, you know, with every new element that we all agree works, that everyone works together. I think the code is up or will be up. I think you already put it up. So we can add these little elements and I can help test, because I can push and make these features surface for a large enough audience, I think, that it matters. And the audience that I have is very, very willing to experiment, et cetera.
That's important too, because it's much easier to have the only way you could test one of two ways. You could have one feed with a ton of users and you could test that, or you could have a whole bunch of feeds with a few users, and that's chaos.
It could
be one feed that you can use as a test as a sandbox feed to test with, that has potentially, you know, maybe on the sandbox feed, 20,000 users or more. That's gold.
Yes. And I think and this is a recommendation we got from a mutual acquaintance, to actually mark, you know, so the feed right now is just sandbox and it's a separate feed. And we're doing that for a very specific reason. And actually, let me go back. Say what you will about Dave Weiner, but when we were booting up podcasting 16 years ago, these features would be implemented into my feed creation software on the spot almost, or the next day. And of course, that was because he had a very different model. He was creating a single piece of software, a tool that spit out an RSS feed, did many other things, but it would spit out the RSS feed. So everything we were talking about or wanted to try, we pretty much implemented real world right away. And I really hope all developers, especially our app guys, understand how valuable it is to get real users using your stuff in a controlled environment to start with, but go live as soon as possible. Now, I'm going to toot my own horn. I am the perfect guy for you, because I am fearless. I will go and I will break.
Yes.
I will break my feed, not on purpose, but if it comes to that, I'll break my feed. And for sure, guaranteed, as Dave Jones is my witness, I will break your software. And I succeeded right away. I immediately broke Hypercatcher. And I'm happy. And I'm like, oh, this is so good. And I hope, you know, that everyone sees how valuable this is, because you're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to put, who knew that I was going to create 20 chapter marks in my chapter file and bring up, you know, web pages that apparently are loading simultaneously. Now, I have an iPhone 7 for a number of reasons, security mainly. I don't want a lot of the new features and the new sensors. But it also may be a good benchmark just to have shit work. You know, if it can work on an iPhone 7, you're not going to have a problem with the 12. And the same goes for Android. There's all kinds of limitations. And then even though the stuff was out and actually kind of released, the Hypercatcher stuff, we all sat down and went, hey, you know, that's actually kind of a security issue. If Adam can just have shit loading up on everybody's phone, just have some random page, that could be a real problem.
Some tracking.
I mean, there are definitely web pages that will crash your iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all seen it.
Yeah.
Call Apple right away. Yeah. Here's the number. You know, it takes over your whole browser. You can't do anything, can't get out of it. So I'm super excited that we can move forward now in this manner. And so this show today, I'm going to run it through the RSS builder. I'm going to add chapters to it. And I already have feedback, because now we get into the next part, which is very interesting, is so now I have a tool for the RSS feed, I don't care what I build my RSS feed with, but now at least I have a tool that is flexible enough. So when a new feature comes out, something we all want to support and we're putting into the apps, that the hosting companies will look at and decide if they want to use, we can do it right away. But
yeah,
here's the first problem. So I now have one authoring tool, and I'm very pleased with it. Hypercatcher. Super pleased. There has to be more. You know,
for chapters you're talking about.
Yeah, for chapters, exactly.
Yeah.
And this brings me to my next point, and then I'll shut up. And I was trying to make this point, and I don't think it came across very well. But in today's world, and the best example of this is Microsoft Word. When someone sends you a Word document, you open it up in Word and you read it. And when you create a Word document, you open up Word and you create it in Word, and then you check it and you view it in Word. And it has a couple different modes, so you can, you know, look at it different ways and run some bug checking on it, which is called a spell checker in my world, and then you can send it off. Never has anyone completed, I'm sure people have thought of it, but never has anyone completed the full circle of, well, I'm editing my podcast, how it's going to look, what information is displayed in a podcast app. It would be, and I'm not asking for this, but just think of the power if we could do that in the app itself. Because that was the experience I had with Hypercatcher. Hypercatcher allowed me to do one thing which blew me away, is I could create the chapters while listening to the show in the app. That's huge. Incredible. I mean, it's massive. Now, I know that David created it because he wants community chapters, which, believe me, I want, because I'm already thinking, wow, this adds 30 minutes to my production time, you know, finding these chapters. I want a community chapter system where the producers of my shows can go ahead and do that, and it will grow over time. And of course, you need an admin interface to approve that. But that, just keep that in mind. It is incredibly powerful to be able to do things to your podcast in the app itself as a creator, as a producer.
You're talking about WYSIWYG for podcast apps.
In a way. I mean, so, well, where it's really prevalent, where it really works well is in the, is with the chapters, but I can see another use case. And the more because someone showed up on the index, I forgot who it was, on the Mastodon, and said, hey, I was thinking of putting together a little podcast app that looks at where you are by geolocation and then pulls up podcasts that are geo-tagged in your area. And now, of course, no one has that at this point. It's not an official tag. But I can certainly see the benefit of it. And if there was a world where I could add a location tag from the app itself, you know, my phone actually has all that stuff built in, GPS and everything. I mean, these are just super easy things to think of. That doesn't make it any easier for a hosting company. You know, how does that get in? I mean, all problems that need to be solved. I'm just putting it out there as a revolutionary idea. Certainly when it comes to community-based features, comments, the same thing. You know, podcasting is getting its ass kicked. It's ass kicked by real-time chats on YouTube. You know, at which you go back, you watch the video again, you see the chat scroll by. That's cool stuff. And we have we actually have zero audience interaction pieces, mainly, and this is to finalize, because we haven't been able to create this entire loop. And I feel really good at the end of this week, because now I know that we are formidable. We've got we've got great app developers working within the framework of a namespace, coming up with these features. They'll be able to test it, good test bed with me, and then real world with me, which will bring other people who want to do this, and we'll all make decisions if we want other people to use this tool. But you know, all it takes is one hosting company to say, okay, we're going to change it, and you know, app boys be ready, because you know, stuff is going to start coming in. So long story short, let's remember the users in this process. And I am here. I am dedicated. I am a part of the development team. Call me QA. Call me Q. Call me whatever you want. But I am going to break your software. I'm going to do crazy shit that will drive you nuts. And we're going to have great, great features and functionality because of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, what you're describing is the is actually what you need to have a comprehensive test set up for any kind of software.
Yeah.
Because as developers go, I'm sure that everybody, you know, I'm sure every other developer is like me. As I hear you describe, okay, what I need is a piece of software that does this and this and this. And as I'm hearing it, I'm envisioning the pieces as they go together in order just to make it function.
Mm-hmm.
But just simply functioning is not what makes great software.
No.
It is what makes great software is function. It has to function at what it's supposed to do. And it's all also got to do it in a way that is enjoyable and easy and all of these intangibles that you can't,
you can't dream up.
Yeah, you can't dream up code that's enjoyable or delightful or whatever you
want to call it. Well, yes, no, you can. 10, print hello, 20, go to 10.
Okay, that's delightful.
that always gets me.
hell, go to hell, right?
Exactly.
But I mean, like, you can't. So what you need is you need the developer sitting there thinking those things. But then you also need a non-developer who's trying to just simply use it,
mm-hmm.
and who is breaking it and who's telling you, hey, this thing is really awkward, or yes, technically it worked. Mm-hmm. I created this chapters file, but I tried to actually load it in the app and it took 10 minutes to load,
which right.
isn't, I mean, like you have to have both sides of that coin, because it's the back and forth between the two that actually make great software. So I think like that's what I hear. And I know that that's a deficiency of me, because you can't, not only can you not properly debug your own software, I mean, thoroughly debug it. You also can't look at it with non-developer eyes.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, you can't do that because your mind won't let you, because you're thinking, make it work, find the thing that's causing it not to work. And so like, there's times when like, and if people notice that, go dark for a little while and don't respond to things, it's usually because I'm having to, take care of something. And then I'm trying to just get my mind away from Podcast Index and away from all that stuff.
Sure.
And go, you know, clear my mind so that I can come back to it and then look at it with fresh eyes. And that it doesn't always work, but you have to try. Cause that's the only way you get good software.
Now, what I was super pleased by, and which told me a lot, is I feel incredible speed at which hosting companies have implemented the lock tag. That went very fast. Now, I know mm-hmm. there's not a lot of logic behind it, although just having a toggle that says, yes, lock my feed, there's logic there. I get it. That went, now, how fast? Like two, three weeks, and we have six or seven different companies supporting it.
Yeah, it was low-hanging fruit.
I think it's all low-hanging fruit, personally. I think it's all just sitting there waiting to be captured, and
Well, Kevin from Buzzsprout posted on the Mastodon the other day in response to something. I forgot what he was responding to, but he actually printed out what he said, because he said, at the end of the day, podcast creators want to see their photo. And he's talking about the host
tags.
Yeah. The contributor uh-huh. tag or whatever we're calling it now. At the end of the day, podcast creators want to see their photo and guests' photos within the apps while episodes are being played.
That's really interesting.
He said, I think that's the use case we need to design for. Closed platforms like Apple already have this. We need an open spec that offers something similar, nothing more and nothing less. And I thought that was that is exactly what is going on right now, because I don't know that maybe we see it a little clearly. I'm being presumptuous here. Maybe we don't, but perhaps we see things because we're not in the hosting business or the app business or blah, 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 blah.
Sure, sure.
And it's possible that what we're seeing is maybe something that has not really sunk in yet. But if you go back to what the clips we listened to last week, the silo companies like Spotify and Amazon and these people that are trying to bring things exclusive, especially Spotify, they are trying to build a full, complete stack end-to-end user experience that is completely within their system.
Yes, and this is exactly what I wanted to where I wanted to steer it, because we are in a race in a way. Mm-hmm. However, I do want to make note, and I completely believe Kevin, when Apple was about to launch this feature, they were making a big deal about it internally. Honestly, no one from Apple Podcasts has spoken to me since we started this project, but they used to email me and said, we're launching this host thing, so can you please give us pictures? And I don't see it in the app. I have the Apple app. Where is it? Where is my picture? Where is this fantastic? I don't understand the functionality. I gave it to them. It may show up if you search somewhere. I mean, I can look, but where is it? How is it being used is my question.
You see, that's a great point, because you mentioned on No Agenda not too long ago about, you mentioned the Mises Institute, which I think you pronounced it Mises.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. But it's
yes,
the Mises Institute. Institute.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We got you.
But they're here in Auburn, Auburn, Alabama, which is about 2 hours away from me. And, I remember I used to listen to a ton of their material, and I remember this one lecture where it may have been Tom Woods, actually. No, I don't think it was him. But anyway, the lecturer said, and he was talking about antitrust, and he said, a small business person can outmaneuver a large business any day of the week.
I agree.
Because the small business guy can trim his expenses. He can eat one fewer meals a day. I mean, like, there's a lot that he or she can do in order to free up the resources in order to make some sort of move and make it very quickly. Whereas a large company, you have to have a certain amount of revenue, a certain amount of cash flow. It takes a long time to steer that boat in another direction. So I think that a small focused group of developers doing this namespace work,
much more nimble.
Yeah, we can move on this host guest stuff much faster than a big company.
We're doing chapters at the same time. I'm not stopping on chapters because there's still work to be done, particularly how we create chapters. Let's talk about the host and guest. So this is the Apple app. It's updated. It's the newest one. I know that my photo's in there. John C. Dvorak's photo's in there. It's in their system internally, so I know that that's all right. And I search for Adam Curry in the Apple Podcast app. Now, it does at no point anywhere in the interface does it bring up my picture or his picture. It shows me a number of podcasts. And when I look at this, I think, oh, this is really good. Because at first, there's No Agenda. I'm in that. Mo Facts. I'm in that. Joe Rogan Experience. I'm in that twice. So I click on Joe Rogan Experience, and I just get a list of Joe Rogan Experience podcasts with his most recent episode. Why? Now, this is what I'd want. Why doesn't it show me the episodes that I'm on? Because it knows.
That seems like a no-brainer.
You know, they got no fucking users. No one is really using this. They're not listening to people. Adam Carolla, I've been on that show once. Hotep Jesus, I've been on that show. Tom Woods, I'm seeing all of it. Yeah. Even the Buzzcast. There we go. Let me click on that. It should say, here's the episodes with Adam Curry, but it doesn't.
It just takes you to Buzzcast.
It just takes you to Buzzcast. So they either, I don't know, you don't even have to use the tag. You could just search. I mean, you could in theory just search for a name in show notes and bring it up too. Because I know the Netflix NL podcast, which I was on once 2.5-3 years ago. I know that they're not producing a tag. I know that they don't have hosts and guests in there. So we have a communication breakdown. So why don't we, as the nimble developers, and sorry, Martin, I know you're not in the U.S., but sorry, for all intents and purposes, you now are an American entrepreneur, because America is actually small business. It's not big businesses. Yeah, we got some notable ones, and it's the small businesses that make up the core of this country.
Backbone.
It is the backbone. So let's work on host and guest tags, and let's make it kick ass, and let's make our apps kick ass. Because when I'm searching for Adam Curry, I want to see my face appear. And then I want to see what shows I'm on, and I want it to list the actual shows that I'm on. You can split it up any way you want it, but just, I mean, what a waste. What a waste,
and
Apple.
And you want a link to Wikipedia.
Yeah. And all that stuff. And I already see some of that insights, you know, podcast insights or some, you know, low-level AI stuff, basically skip logic people are doing. Like, oh, let's find a Twitter feed. Let's find a Wikipedia entry. That's fine. And how about this? As a crazy thought, why wouldn't it be possible to add to that? So if there's a host and a guest entry, are we going to recreate all that work? I mean, should guests and hosts maybe have... I'm just throwing shit out there. Should guests and hosts maybe not have a way to... have a format that can be used by all podcasts they appear on, no matter who creates it?
What do you mean? You mean like in the tag itself? Like in the
index? Why wouldn't I'm just throwing stuff out, Dave. And just to me, it's like, okay, I'm the guest, and all I provide, all I've ever been asked for, is my picture, and I actually don't want my Wikipedia links. Can I please give a bio that I like that I can link to? Can I please put in the most recent project? So this is going to be stale. How do I change my picture?
Yeah.
Now you're hearing a user talking.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you're supposed to hear. I mean, like, that's, you know, the thing. Hold on, my dog's freaking out.
Oh, your dog agrees with me, man. That the dog is going, yes, developers. But anyway. You want to go talk to him? We can wait if you want. Yeah, go ahead. Go talk to him. And while Dave is doing that, let me see if I can find developers. Because that has got to be... No, guess I don't have that in the archive anywhere. But we always have the Google developers.
All right, got developers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm going to stop the recording or anything, Dave. Hold on, listen. This is a classic for those of you who are too young to have ever heard it.
Developers.
Is that Ballmer?
That's Ballmer, yeah.
Developers.
It's a classic. I'm putting that in the show notes.
Developers.
He does not stop either. It just keeps on going. It's beautiful.
I don't think I've ever seen that full thing.
It's 5 minutes. Oh, the rant is 5 minutes, and he's sweating like a hog, and it's fantastic.
I remember the or whatever he did. Yeah, that thing.
It's in there. It's in there somewhere.
No, I just like. I think chapters is almost fully baked already. I mean, like, there's just maybe a couple of minor things.
Okay, here's a feedback on my end. Okay. So I have a tool to. I have the Hypercatcher, the regular app, which I can create the chapters with. My options are comment and URL. So we know that it wasn't a good idea to just pop up whatever URL was put in there. So now I either need some logic that picks up an icon or the first picture or something to display, or I need a way to also get a picture in there.
Yeah, well, see, that's in the spec. So it may just be that David hasn't put it in there, or maybe there's a way to, or maybe he's looking, treating the URL. I'm not sure what he's doing. He'll have to clarify that, because like in a chapter, so in a chapter, you can specify the chapter spec has start time, which will be the seconds into the, you know, into the audio. Yep. And then it has either a URL of a web of some web URL or an image URL. So it can have either or both. So you can put in, you know, an image URL, and instead of loading a web page, it'll just load the image. But I'm not sure if he's what his interface looks so like if he's exposing that.
No, I only have one URL space to put in there.
Okay, we'll have to ask him about that then.
But let me just give you the next set of problems.
Okay.
So I want it to look good. So I want to have it. Now, there are many times I can get an image and just copy and paste that image. But what if I have an image from my phone that I want to put in? I'm just thinking as a user. Mm-hmm. Now I got to find a place to host that image.
Yeah, like if you're wanting to upload something yourself, yeah.
Okay. So these
I don't know.
These are tools, and I think this is where the hosting guys come in. How are your users going to create the content for these tags?
See, that to me that's the perfect role for them.
It is the perfect role.
Because they're already hosting things like transcripts, and feeds and everything.
Another thing is I'm just going to keep hammering on this transcripts. Okay, yeah. How do I do it? I mean, I've gotten some answers, and the answers are, well, you do it through this, and you run it through that, and then you put it on a server, and you put the URL here.
That's not something grandma can do.
It's not something I can do. I mean, I can, but, you know, so is someone supporting transcripts right now? Is there support for that?
Yeah, Buzzsprout. Yeah, Buzzsprout's supporting it.
And do they have a tool for creating the, or do they just create the transcripts on the fly? Or are they?
I don't know how they do it in their UI.
Okay,
that's I've created an account the other day to see if I could do it, and I never followed through on it. But I don't know. I don't know how they're exposing it. I think they redirect you. Man, I don't want to say, because I don't know. It seems like. Well, see, here's the problem with transcripts. With the chain of getting them into your feed is that you have potentially, they cost money. First of all, it costs money on almost every service to do. If you're going to do more than just a little bit, like if you have a 3-hour show, it's going to cost you, I don't know, at least $3, $2 or $3 to create a transcript for that show. Mm-hmm. By the time you run it through their engine and it spits out usually some sort of JSON file that's time encoded. And it's like every single word in the transcript has a time coded on it. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly sizable file. I don't know, 4 or 5 megabytes. Then you have to take that and convert it into something that is more usable by an app, something that's not just like this huge monster of time-coded single words. Mm-hmm. So there are hurdles as to like it makes sense that the chain is complicated. Now, I don't know how Buzzsprout does that. Now, if we're doing it, let's just say I'm going to run mine through AWS transcribe service, and it's going to spit me out a crazy JSON file. And then I got to figure out some way to get that into a standard podcast namespace transcript format.
So this is also why things never get done. because everyone says, well, I'm ready to receive it. And the hosters say, I'm ready to put it in. And in the middle, you've got users stuck saying, okay, how do I do this?
Yeah. And well, I think the transcripts is probably the worst case scenario of that. Now, and I don't want, like I said, but Buzzsprout may have a much better solution to this that I just don't know because I haven't seen it.
I see they support chapters. Because I put one of my feeds in there. Maybe it's
Did that pass through? Okay.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a lock tag on it, so that's the good news. Maybe it's I have an upgrade. I will upgrade my feed to see maybe I get transcripts in there. But
maybe that's a premium feature, yeah.
Could be a premium feature. But just looking at so here we have chapters, and they have this is actually quite usable. They have add chapter markers. So I hit that, and I can add, the start time, it's a little player, so that all works automatically. That's great. I'd love to use this. Then it has a chapter title and a URL. So it does not have an option for a URL and a picture.
That's interesting. So that's Hypercatcher and Buzzsprout both have that same sort of interface. And I wonder if they're just because in the spec, there is an image property and a URL property. Mm-hmm. So they, Tom and Kevin and David, they need to tell us how to use that.
It work. Yeah. I mean, to me as let's call it my hosting provider in this case, it would make sense to me that I can either grab an image from somewhere and just drop it in there and it uploads to my area of my server space on Buzzsprout and it just does everything else for me.
Yeah.
And I understand so there's two use cases. One is the one that I don't like, and that's just me personally. I want people to listen to my show, and I don't want you jumping around, and I don't want you to see something that says, ooh, I'm not going to listen to this bit. I'm going to that bit, which means I feel you, and that's just my art. You know, it's like I would rather people listen to it in linear fashion. I also don't like people listening at 1.5 times speed. You know, that's just me. However, I would like to use this as eye candy, the way it's being implemented in Hypercatcher. And I think Podfriend is you're listening, you get to a certain point and up pops, whoa, here's a cool thing. Here's an image and there's a URL I can tap and go through. So we talk about artwork on our show and we're talking about artwork that we did not choose for the album art. I want to rotate that. And here's this one. This is the perfect use case for me. Here's this one. Here's that one. And that's not meant for you to tap through to anything. It's also not meant to jump to it per se. I don't mind how if people want to jump around. I mean, it is what it is.
That's something that evolved into the chapter spec this past week. Is we've been it's hard to even remember what has happened in the week because I think early on I made contact with the developer of a program called Chapters App. Mm-hmm. And it's a Mac program that will create MP3 chapters in your MP3 file. But his software will also at the same time spit out a JSON chapter format. And so I started looking at his JSON chapter format and it was so close to what we had. I mean, like the properties were named the same mm-hmm. in a lot of instances. I mean, the format was just almost identical. And so I made contact with him, Frederick Muirman, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And I made contact with him and said, hey, your format is so close to ours. This would be a huge win if we just combined if we merged these two formats together, if it's not too, in a way that's not too painful for you, not too painful for us. And we each have to just make a couple of tweaks and mm-hmm. we have one single format that your users can go ahead and spit out a chapters file that'll work in the podcast namespace. And he said, yeah, that sounds great.
Let's do it. Perfect. Perfect.
And so it was perfect synergy. And so we pulled that together this past week and he's cool with it. We're good with it. Very little change for anybody to absorb. But the one thing that came in there was an extra property, optional property called table of contents or TOC, which is something he was using, but we didn't have it. And it was a great idea. so that you can choose to have a silent chapter. So you have a chapter marker that doesn't show visibly as a jump point.
Is that in the spec now?
It is in the spec.
Yeah. See, I love that.
Yeah. And so you can put your images in there. They'll just rotate, but it's not a jump point. You know, it's just like a slideshow at that point. You just see it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you could have a podcast of all silent chapters where things just are shown to you, but there's no jump points at all. That's all, you know, so now that we have that option, that's a perfect scenario for that.
So what is the best way? So this is very interesting. This is now implemented in two, possibly three or four different places. What is the best way to move this forward? Because now we have a scenario where it's almost there, but it's not quite to spec. Now this is granted, this is something that has just started happening. How do we move this forward? Because I have a use case. I think it's a good use case. For that use case to work, I need three extra things. In whatever I'm using to create the chapters with, I need to be able to put an image in addition to a URL. That image has to be hosted somewhere, and I would like to add the silent. No chapter mark. So how do we get it from where it is here to, I mean, I know how it goes at Spotify. Some guy says, hey, we've decided we're going to do this. Everybody get on it. Drop whatever else you're doing.
Yeah.
That's clearly not the way to work.
That's what Martin did.
Well, I owe him. I owe him. I'll DJ at your daughter's bar mitzvah, whatever. I'll do anything. I owe Martin for sure, because it really took us away. I mean, look at what happened, man.
It's great you did that. It's great you did that because that. I mean, it's great because if you look at podcastindex.social, everybody there is a programmer.
Yeah,
everybody there is a developer except you, really, and maybe one or two other people, and so like. If you don't break stuff and speak up, then the developers are just going to keep on just gonna keep on going about their business and like pumping out software that doesn't interop. And that's no good. It's like, I think the way forward on this is simple. We finalize the tag. We finalize that format and we put it I think it was Kevin over at Buzzsprout was saying, because and I keep mentioning Buzzsprout because they've really jumped on board and are trying to help us finalize the spec.
Yeah.
And so, that's why their name keeps coming up a lot. They've just been hands-on, helping, not just sitting back and saying, oh yeah, we'll do it when the time comes, but they've actually taken a hands-on pushing code. So, and what he said was, chapters is not something that our users are really calling for, but we realize it's important and we'll support it. And I knew, and I think I said this early on, that I knew that chapters was going to have to be something that I was going to have to politic for, because there are some things that are not necessarily being asked for or clamored for by users, but you sort of have a vision for it. And MP3 chapters are good because there's really zero privacy implication. You can embed everything in there and it's not, it's not a big deal, but it is a pain in the butt.
Oh yeah. No, it's horrible. No, I think everything is great. I mean, I really do. Everything is great, but we just need to go through a couple of loops and, Buzzsprout, I am now, your customer. I am signed up for the $24 a month plan. And, now I have demands. Now I have demands as a customer. I have demands.
It's going straight to the suggestion bus. Oh, crap. We got a customer wanting chapters.
Here's something interesting. So there is no, there's nothing extra that I could find in this plan. Doesn't matter because I'm happy to support them. Under artist/, there is more episode settings. The items below are optional. Don't have to be completed. Also, some can have impacts in higher episode displays. So be sure to understand what they do before setting them. And then it has artist/guest and already populated in there is Adam Curry, Ampersand, John C. Dvorak. So I doubt Ampersand is a good way to separate two artists and guests. I don't know if that's possible. So
they're probably just pulling out of the iTunes author tag is probably what it is.
Ah, okay.
And it's in there as a single entity.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But when the contributor tag gets finalized, they'll be able to separate that logically because it'll be structured data in the feed.
Right. Which adds a lot of complexity to what they're doing. I understand that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of having, I think it caused some confusion earlier in the week because you were calling for tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the hosters were saying, well, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we build tools, but there's also a class of podcaster out there who is self-hosted. And then there's also podcasters who are on hosts that are smaller and don't, maybe they're using them because they're cheaper or for some unknown reason that we don't know about. And they don't have, and they're just slow and they're not quick to adopt and that kind of thing. And those, you don't want to leave those guys out in the cold either. So the fact that there's just more tools is going to make this thing easier. And I think we can cement it by finalizing the chapters tag this week. I think that's totally doable. And one of the things that I plan on doing this weekend is I'm just going to take a look at the landscape and do a reorder on, I've already had some discussions with people who have expressed their ideas about what, you know, what should be in phase one, phase two. And I agree. And I think everybody pretty much sees the way this is going. So I'm just going to go ahead and reorder everything into phase one and phase two. And then we'll kind of finalize this home stretch of phase one and say, here's the three tags that we want to focus on the most and see if we can get these things to the finish line.
I think that's an excellent idea. And I will take it upon myself. I'm going to create an account with Blueberry and one with Fireside. And who else do we have? Captivate?
Yeah, Transistor.
Captivate. Transistor. I'll just create an account with everybody. And I will run my feeds through every system and provide my feedback.
That'd be great.
But the main thing is, if we have a namespace that has those elements in it that we discussed, I'm going to push for it to be implemented as such, because we know that we have app developers who are developing to that spec, but if no one's going to create them to that spec, we lose again.
Yeah.
And every single time we go through this loop, Spotify gets one step closer to just making it. Look, they have years to go. They really do. I don't believe any of the hype. I'm not so sure that they're the cat's meow in all regards. They have Anchor, which is a big deal, but we are very nimble, and I know what it takes in any corporation, no matter how they come across, to do certain things, and we need to keep plowing ahead. And I can evangelize everything and anything and get people to use your apps and go to your services, but I have to be able to show it working. So
it's kind of a critical piece of the puzzle.
Right. So I would say, with deep respect to the Buzzsprout team, you're not done yet. I know it's just been finalized, but please consider revisiting your chapters for two reasons. Well,
chapters is not final yet. It's not finalized yet.
No, what is the only thing that's finalized? The lock tag, then, as far as I know,
lock, transcripts.
Transcripts is no. There's no apparent way for me to make that. There's no apparent way in Buzzsprout for me to add that.
They'll have to let us. They'll have to pipe in and tell us what to
let
do.
Let us know what to do. Yeah,
I know they've got feed because I see them. I see them in the index. We're aggregating that data now, and I see Buzzsprout feeds with transcripts. I just don't know how to get them in there.
That's weird.
Yeah. And what was the last one? There's three. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, there's three tags that are finalized. So we need to finalize I think we can get chapters done this week. And the contributor tag, that also seems very doable. I think we can get that thing done definitely by the 15th.
Well, also, and so then the contributor tag, implementing the tag into just using Buzzsprout and the RSS builder, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to do it in the RSS builder. But then really, how is it being used?
Well, I think that's an easy one to implement on the app side. It'll just be essentially just a URL and a name.
Right. But
and an image. You know?
So I'm saying all the things that we were talking about, how is the app going to use this? I think we've given a couple of good examples. Just in a basic search. Now, I don't know if that's the index or how that works. In a basic search, if I'm searching for a guest, then I want to see the shows that guest is on, and specifically the actual episodes. Otherwise, what did you do for me? Apple's doing that stupidly. So, we can blow past Apple just by making that. That's a big feature.
Yeah, well, I'll start doing that immediately. I mean, that search, like, as soon as we aggregate that data in that way, like, I mean, that's instant searchability.
So the next part is, what do I get? How can I contribute to making that better? This is a good one. So what can I do besides just adding a URL to a picture or a single page? What can I do to make it better for the apps to do something with that information, and can I control it to change the information? I mean, this to me is another authoring tool that I would expect from my tool provider. Is it just a simple URL to a wiki page? Sure. Seems kind of sad. That's the best we can do.
Yeah. Well, there's other work going on too.
I'm just saying that
Podchaser. Podchaser is built essentially, if I understand them right, they're building a database of verified, I use that term loosely because they're just verified hosts and guests with a lot of this information in it. They're trying to build almost like a podcast wiki itself is the way I take it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, like they were on the GitHub comments saying, hey, we got this work in progress, and they may have released it this week, but they're going to also have an API. So there may be a third party API that can pull in some information. We may be this may be the beginning of like the industry solving a problem. And this seems to be happening a lot with this whole project, is the industry is seeing a problem and beginning the motion of fixing it or building up things around it. And then now the podcast namespace can just give it an outlet.
So, okay. So here's what I would recommend, since I didn't participate in the conversation on the GitHub or at all, because I wasn't thinking about it. I've never cared about it because I saw nothing come of it. If we can at least get to the point, because I'm looking at Podchaser, they do the same thing. Now, it's great because Podchaser does seem to have a lot of good stuff in here, which everybody could hook into. I don't know how people feel about using third parties. But let's see. They already integrate with Podrover, Podstatus, My Podcast Reviews, Captivate. Oh, Buzzsprout is here.
My Podcast Reviews, that's Daniel J. Lewis.
So they say they have partial integration. Okay. Oh, listen, hold on a second. I'm just reading this. Some features integrated with Podchaser. New shows are able to be submitted to Podchaser. Okay. Podchaser links on hosted podcast pages. No. Podchaser ratings displayed. No. Displayed on episode. No. Creator profiles displayed on. No. That's kind of worth looking at as long as you can have competition.
Yeah.
So that's not a single point of failure, but at its very core, it would be great to be in a podcast app and say, Adam Curry, and it will show me the episodes of shows where I was listed as a guest or a host.
Not just the podcast, the episode itself.
The actual episode itself, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Which
I think
kind of makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that the point of it all?
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
That's the one thing everybody wants. And it sounds like, if we're understanding this right, Apple has got... It went Apple 90% of the way and it stopped short of the finish line.
80%. 80% because they don't even surface the picture I sent them.
Yeah, the picture. I forgot about that. Dude, we can do that. This can be better. This can all be better. I mean, the decentralized... Building it decentralized can just work better. Well, it's not that we're targeting feature parity. It's that we're targeting, you know, a mutual friend of ours said that yesterday. He's like, you know, it's not enough to just do what they do. You got to do
better.
It better. Yeah.
We're building back better.
Because if somebody's locked into a silo app.
Yeah.
You want to get them out of the silo app and back into the open market. And so like, there's no reason to do that. If it's just like, well, the open system just has the same stuff I got already.
Well, this is a better example than chapters really, because here's Apple. They've had this for months and months and months. They've had this integrated. They've received my pictures. They decided, I think if you search somewhere on Apple, it'll show my profile. And it may have a wiki page link. I recall something like that. But it's definitely not surfacing in their app, or at least not in any apparent manner. We can kick everybody's ass, because the number one reason for this feature was exactly that. Oh, my God. I loved hearing that guy on that show. Well, you know, where else is he appearing? Yeah. I believe that was the main driver behind the feature. And what was discussed, if I recall correctly as well, you know, a lot of people will... do spammy titles like, if you liked Adam Curry, you'll love this episode, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think if we have enough fields for, and by the way, is there room for four guests or is it just one guest?
No, there's no limit.
There's no limit to how many guest tags you put in there?
There's not a limit to how many you put in there unless it's imposed by the host, which they will have to impose limits. And there's no limit, but I mean, like in the aggregator, I'll stop, you know, I'll pick up, you know, five people and then I'll just stop after that. I mean, I'm not going to pick up 300 guests.
But is this an endpoint you want to provide?
Well, it'll just get returned with the episode results, and then there'll be a separate search, and I'm kind of like, we have 50 million episodes in the index right now. So that's a lot of data, and I've really held off on any sort of episode search until we sort of fry this fish.
Right.
Because
for that, I mean, because you want to get that right to start with.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause really I can't imagine searching 50 million episodes without having some indication of what you're looking or of something specific.
And right. So saying guest and then name, is that still too broad?
No. I think that's fine. Yeah.
It'd be purely on the guest field in your database, he said simply. Yeah. So that's an easier search.
Oh yeah. I mean, like that's very doable. If we have that structured data in there, we can do that very quickly.
So just looking at the way Buzzsprout has implemented it right now, which is why they have partial integration, whatever, where it's guest/host or host/guest. Actually, it's so interesting. If I'm just looking at the regular podcast info, it still uses the artist tag. I know that's an industry-wide thing. I find that hilarious.
Yeah.
it's fine. It's what it is.
We need to have hosters. We need to have them guest on the show.
Yeah. We're going to have the next episode. We need to get hosters in.
Because, yeah. So they can show us how to use their software.
Yeah. And yes. Cause I'm probably doing it wrong. Here it is. Artist/guest. So already that, and it's, and I'm not picking on Buzzsprout. I love these guys. They're going to be fantastic. It's just, this is the same everywhere. everyone's making these legacy things. Like,
well, they're jumping on the tag. They're going to do that.
No, no, I know, yeah. But I'm just providing the feedback. I'm a host, not an artist. It's a small thing.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
It's a small thing. And do I do Adam Curry ampersand John C. Dvorak and then slash nothing, or you know, shouldn't it be two separate entries, one for Adam Curry, one for John C. Dvorak? So these are all things that you cannot create as just a software developer on the index, as just a software developer on the hosting side, or as just a software developer on the app side. This conversation that we're having has to happen. We can't do it in our vacuum either. You and I.
This went from the show where we read namespaces to the show where we describe trying to use software on the internet.
How beautiful is this? let me scroll.
Now I'm looking at this text box. I'm not sure what it means.
Yeah.
Our quest to get rid of all of our audience is working.
I think there's 8 people who care. I really do. But
see, well, do you want to thank them? You want to thank those people?
Well, hold on. Yeah, I just wanted to say that we are at a beautiful point where we all understand what's happening and we have this glue. And I want to make it even more sticky. So we really talk to all the players, because that's what's never happened, you know. And the users, I don't think they've been in the conversation. And it just makes better software. It really does.
How many people are on podcastindex.social?
Well, let me tell you what I can find.
You got stats.
Yeah, stats. Let me see. Where's my preferences here? I think it's, I'll know in a second for sure.
Because I see new people popping up.
170.
Yeah, I see new people popping up on a fairly regular basis.
82 active this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good...
That's not bad. We had 971 interactions this week, whatever that means. But luckily, I have no backlog jobs.
What does that mean?
That's shit software is what that is.
What's a backlog job?
Well, if I click on it, I get a dashboard. Okay. Yeah, this is not for the faint of heart. This is probably the
Federation.
This is the sidekick. It's the Federation stuff. Yeah, it's how many processes failed. Enqueued. I love that term. Enqueued. Not queued. Enqueued.
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 You need to close that page right now.
I do.
Step away.
It's very bad. Let us thank some of the people who have enthusiastically supported podcastindex.org, the podcast that goes with it, the Mastodon, which now has search. That was an extra $29 a month.
But $29.95.
Yeah. Well, I got two if I ordered within 30 minutes.
As seen on TV.
This is the value for value system. All we ask for is what value are you getting out of the entire project, and put that into time, talent, or treasure, or a combination of all three. Of course, we have lots of people spending time, lots of people spending their talent, and so beautiful to see people, supporting us with finances, which we need. Otherwise it stops eventually. And I love the recurring subscriptions, people getting basically buying a server space, which is
it's like
the other side to the Amazon spot instances. Does that make any sense? It's like we have the almost like a balance.
Oh yeah,
like we spin up a spot instance and there's a $20 a month offset. It's really interesting how that works, and I love it personally. It's great.
It's like a carbon offset. It's a server offset.
it's a server credit offset. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, server credit. I love that, because we like it only really takes, I mean, like if you have 20 people that do, you know, 25 people that do $10 a month, it's done. Like, it's just really not, it's a low bar. It's so, you know, because I mean, our hosting fees, we intentionally keep them as low as possible.
Well, you're the master of the hosting fees.
Steve Webb is the master of giving us $50, $50 donation.
Steve, God bless you. He is one of the original Godcasters. Have known him for a long, long time. He and his beautiful wife. Very, very sweet of you, Steve. Thank you. He's a long-term believer in what we're doing.
Oh, that's great. And by the way, tell if we missed anybody at the beginning, like the first couple of shows.
Yeah, you got to email us.
Yeah, tell us, because we may have forgotten to credit you. We were in chaos.
just a little. Startup chaos.
Todd Maffin. He said that he
I know Todd Maffin.
Yeah, he said he was original. He ran a node for the iPod.
For the iPodder, he hand coded his OPML node for what country is he in? Does it say what country he's in?
He said on the Mastodon, but it's not in the email, so I don't remember.
Because I think I don't know if he was in the US, but yes. Oh, it's so nice to, and yes, and I do remember on podcastindex.social. We had that all set up with the directory. It was the early podcastindex.org, which was very manual in its execution.
But you kind of miss it too, though, right? I mean, it's like, simple.
When you and I were first talking about this project, you know, we discussed it even. We talked about it, how beautiful that was, you could just do these include nodes and you could just have this outline that goes on forever, and you can, you know, it was like Gopher. Gopher.
I've got all the podcasts in South America, and there's 18 of them.
but you know that we had them. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Todd, thanks for it's $20 a month automatic payment. We got one aggregator left, and it's all yours, baby. $10 a month. No, I'm sorry. This is not $10 a month.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
He actually, Todd, I'm just looking at him. Todd Maffin. He posted a screenshot of an email from 11th of October, 2004.
I know.
Where he says,
I can't believe he still has the email.
What is wrong with you, Todd? He says, hey, Adam, I'd be happy to help out with a, quote, radio category in the podcast directory. I've got an OPML editor and my own server. And I said, go for it. Just send me the URL to the OPML. Thanks. That's how we rolled, baby. That was it. that was it. Oh, man.
What a time capsule.
It's beautiful. That's very cool.
Let's see. Adventures in Audio sent us a $10 donation.
Thank you very much. Any note?
Thank you.
No note.
I don't see a note. No, I didn't see a note like that. Michael Kimmerer, automatic payment, $5.33 a month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Let's see. Pedro Goncalves. I hope I pronounced that right. He sent an automatic, or he did an automatic subscription for $5.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro. We got the cops coming to get me.
It's because of all that big PayPal money you're racking in there. It's like the cops coming to get you.
It's making a dent. It's making waves.
Got to be drug dealers over there.
let's see. We got a one-time donation for $15 from Allison Hamill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Allison.
I couldn't find a note.
Send us a note if you wanted us to mention anything. Send it. We'll do it on the next episode for sure.
Yeah, and then an anonymous donation for $11.11.
Ah, nothing like an 11-11. I could use them all day. That's a good luck donation. Do you ever see that? Do you ever see the clock 11-11? Are you one of those people who sees that?
No, I thought it was snake eyes. I thought it was a bad luck donation.
Oh, no, it's supposed to be synchronicity.
Oh
yeah, okay. When you see 11-11, that's supposed to be that you're clicking in harmony with the universe.
No, I didn't get that at all. Well, my pessimism completely took over.
Okay.
Well, that's it. That's what we. That's,
well, that's thanks, good. Everybody. That's a good list that we really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Value for value. You're going to be hearing this a lot from us as we move forward, because ultimately the idea is to turn that into something a little more tangible for everybody, the value for value.
Yeah.
Before here's What else do you have on your list?
Well, I got some clips. You want to listen?
Oh, yeah. Let's do some clips for sure. For sure. What you got?
So did you, let me find my sheet here. Did you hear about the four, I think you heard about the four QAnon podcasts that Spotify removed, right?
Yes. I immediately took that as an opportunity to whore out podcastindex.org and all of its associated apps and developers. And yes, of course, I took that immediately. You bet.
As you should.
As you bet. That's even when Joe Rogan's Alex Jones episode didn't pop up or got removed or whatever the story was, there was a lot of, all of a sudden, oh my God, it's gone. I immediately posted, if you're looking for episode 1555 of JRE, it's that. Right over here.
I saw that. So they removed four QAnon podcasts is how it was.
Well, that's how they categorize it, right? They say it was QAnon podcast. Yeah.
Well, I went and listened to each one of them. And by the way, I deserve $10 a month just for having to listen to some of these podcasts every week to get clips. Somebody owes me money for this because sometimes it is painful to listen to.
I like the X22. I've listened to X22 and I've followed Praying Medic on Twitter. I think he's gone from Twitter. And so I kind of lost the prey. And the reason why I do it is just to check in, see what's going on with the QAnon people. You know,
now, when I say terrible podcast, I'm really talking about you've got one ISO in there.
No. Oh, yes.
drop it.
That must have been tough for you.
What podcast? Is that a QAnon podcast?
No. Okay. That's from a podcast called Mom Knows Best from the Dance Moms Moms. So,
oh my goodness.
I don't even know how I ended up there. I think it was on cast coverage or something like that.
And you say something about Todd keeping his email since 2004. I don't know what you're doing in your free time. Check yourself.
Okay. So my theory is that, I think I listened to one episode of each one of these four that got removed. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing there. I mean, like, it's not, these are, so play, I think clip one, QAnon one is X22.
Let's talk about being prepared. With the elections only weeks away, we all know we need to be prepared for the worst. Civil unrest is getting so ugly in spots it could bring the entire system to its knees. We know what the deep state's going to do. We know that they're going to be pushing the second wave of COVID-19. Grocery stores and food manufacturers are already preparing themselves for nationwide panic. Will you be ready? Don't wait until it's too late. Remember the toilet paper shortage? I urge you to visit preparewithx22.com and build your emergency food supply today. And you need to be prepared.
Seeds is basically just emergency food supplies. I mean, like, that's what this was. I mean, like, yeah, I know X22, it may be a good podcast, but like, that's basically what you're going to get. So there's not going to be anybody fooled into going and shooting up a place or committing some crime by listening to this podcast. So what I think is going on is basically they needed to get rid of somebody. They needed to drop the ban hammer on somebody. And so they just picked a few unfortunate podcasts because QAnon was an easy target. And they're like, okay, we're just going to get rid of these as examples because our main show, the one we spent $100 million on, Joe Rogan, we can't survive the PR of taking him down. And all of our internal employees are freaking out. They're trying to unionize. They're doing all this kind of stuff because they hate Joe Rogan. But in order to appease, and we can't, but we can't take him down. So in order to, you don't want to have, that would be like another Conan O'Brien moment. So what they're doing, like, look, we can't take down Joe Rogan, but here's four QAnon podcasts. See, these guys are terrible. Let's take them off the air.
Okay.
That's the way I read it.
All right. So I make a study of this, and there's a couple things going on. One, let's talk about Joe Rogan for a second, because there's something going on with him. And I consider him to be a friend, not a best friend or anything, but we talk, we text, we whatever. If you look at his most recent podcasts, the one with Kanye West. Now, I speak Kanye, so I enjoyed that very much. You got to speak Kanye. I've had a year and a half education from Mo to understand just the topics that he broaches. But certainly in the Alex Jones, Tim Dillon example, he was fact-checking everything that was said. Every 4 minutes, 5 minutes, Jamie, is this true? Now, This is a problem that Joe has created for himself. Because the eyes on him, there's a lot of people within the Spotify organization, and that's absolutely true. There's a lot of internal issues with that. It doesn't even matter why, or if it's right or if it's wrong. It's just a fact, is what it is. And his way to combat that is by trying to fact check, weird, crazy, outrageous stuff so that he later can at least say, well, we fact checked that. This is very destructive to his entire format, and he will have to stop, or people will stop watching/listening. It is disruptive to his format. Very disruptive. There's always been some level of a young Jamie looking stuff up. But now fact checking, I mean, it's the possibly the worst thing you can do, because for every fact check, we've got a
fact check false.
You can fact check anything from any page anywhere, and it's a never ending story. And what he's doing is he's disrupting his flow and his interview. And that is because he's on Spotify. That's because Joe is a really, really nice guy. He's really a sweet guy. I know him. He doesn't want to offend people. He wants to try and keep all sides kind of in balance. It just doesn't work that way. If you try to straddle, it's just going to wind up mediocre. So he has to figure that out. But that is because of the Spotify move. I would hate to wake up every single morning like, what are they bitching about now? It's just a lot of negativity. QAnon thing stems from a different issue, from a lie that was created and propagated. My day job is deconstructing media. And where it really started was with the town hall in Florida with President Trump and Savannah Guthrie. And this is where it started.
All right, while we're denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring, and that you are the savior of that.
I followed QAnon from the beginning. It has never been about Democrats.
Yeah.
But they've created this lie, and I think the first time I really saw it big was here, and Democrats. And it was interesting. I didn't clip it, I don't think. But on Saturday Night Live, when they did the takeoff of that town hall, they actually had Alec Baldwin as the Trump character saying, it's Democrats, satanic children, which Trump never said. So they have turned this into this is political because they're saying Democrats. I would challenge anybody to find something that says specifically it's just Democrats. If anything, it's Hollywood celebrities, people like Zuckerberg, Tom Hanks, Madonna. These people may be Democrats, but I've never heard this specified as it's only Democrats. And who is a big relationship over at Spotify? Higher Ground Productions, Michelle and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
There was a power play, and the power play went all the way through, even though it's disingenuous and really created by the mainstream media, because Q, I never saw this distinction. And now maybe it's just out there and that's what it'll be forever. Cause now I hear people, I even heard, I heard Todd and, Rob on, I guess it was the New Media Show, talking about this very issue, and they stated as fact, well, it's political because it's about Democrats doing such. So it's out there. It's already been cemented in people's minds. This was a political move. I believe that there's already enough trouble with the Michelle Obama podcast not getting the reach it does. They can tell me all they want about that's the number two podcast. I think it's baloney. This was a power play. Someone got pissed off and something had to fall. So in that part, you're correct. And
yeah.
And somehow pressure was applied because, oh my God, and I think that people who were asked for this and were responsible for the delisting probably believe it's only about Democrats and they've never looked into it and never listened to it.
So it's like an accident. It's like an accident of news cemented this connection, and now they have to defend it.
And it will be that way forever. And these things happen all the time. It's often by accident, but this was purposefully turned into that to get rid of it. And
they must have just a console then that just says like where you can just search for stuff and hit the delete button, because somebody just said QAnon and then they found like four podcasts and they just like, okay, we'll take the top four, because one of these was a podcast called Indigenous Mike. And I think that may be clip four.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm your host, Indigenous Mike. And today I want to focus on
Democrats
having faith, having strength, and finding yourself.
Evil.
So, over the past few years...
Hold on. I want to hear it now. So I want to hear the rest of it.
I have been finding myself. I have been realizing the true potential of myself and every other person on this planet.
Clearly dangerous speech going on there.
That's QAnon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly dangerous.
That is the worst sort of hate speech that I've ever heard. I don't even know. I mean, like, this guy's just and this was an M4A, by the way, audio. It wasn't great. An MP3. So, I mean, clearly this person is just Indigenous Mike, whoever he is.
This is one other
talking
thing.
Talking into his iPhone.
So, and we need to talk about this briefly. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act from 1996. I'm a student of this, and it's incredibly important to podcastindex.org that we maintain this protection under Section 230, which means we cannot be held liable for anything that is uploaded to our platform. Now, we may get a government request for something, which... I don't know how, if or when that will come about. I guarantee you we're going to have all kinds of shit coming our way. It will happen. And it, that was an interesting sound. That sounded great in the noise gate.
Oh, did it? Oh, cool. Yeah. I got the flanger.
I guarantee you that will happen, but I just want to state one thing. There is no legal definition of hate speech. There's no legal definition of it. I was extremely disappointed to see our senators and everybody else circle jerking around with Pichai and Zuckerberg and Dorsey and actually discussing the concept of hate speech as if it's a thing. And I will put my neck on the line for any kind of speech. I don't care what it is. We have constitutional things that are a problem, literally inciting violence. I mean, that's clearly spelled out what those exceptions are. But everything else, I will stake a lot on that. So there's nothing is going to get taken down or removed. This is very destructive what Spotify and Apple and others are doing. It's very, 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 very bad.
Have you been reading, I'm sure you have, Taibbi and Greenwald's articles lately?
Of course, on the Substack, really? Yeah.
Yeah, he's, let's see, was this? Yeah, this is from Greenwald's thing yesterday. He says, this was not an easy choice. I'm voluntarily sacrificing the support of a large institution and guaranteed salary in exchange for nothing other than a belief that there are enough people who believe in the virtues of independent journalism and the need for free discourse who will be willing to support my work by subscribing. And like, I think that what's happened, there's this talk about, well, these are private companies and it's not a matter of free speech because this is not the government. But what you've seen with Greenwald and Taibbi, especially Matt Taibbi, he's been showing how the news media has become more and more concentrated, and then tech just lit the flame. Like it was a gasoline, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. tech just lit it up, mm-hmm. to where almost all local media has been decimated. So there is, yes, these are private companies, but they've become really over the last 7 to 8 years, maybe 10 years, they've become the default funnel for all speech gets pushed through really these three companies, mainly Twitter, Facebook, Google. I mean, yes, they're private companies, but when they put all other local media out of business, then they have basically vacuumed it all up, and they took the space that local media had. Like here in Birmingham, Alabama, we had historically we had two major newspapers, the Post Herald and Birmingham News, and they're both gone.
Yeah,
like, I mean, the Birmingham News building, it was a huge building that they built about 20 years ago, and it's now an insurance company. There's, for all practical purposes, there is no newspaper in Birmingham anymore.
Right, but I bet you there's a couple of good blogs.
Oh, yeah. Well, AL.com is the website for all news here, and it's just, you know, they just kind of scooped up all the leftover reporters from the various newspapers.
Look, I could talk for hours about this. However, I'm just looking at federated Mastodon servers or
pluralism. Pluralism.
That's another kind of, and you know, GNU social, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's much bigger than it was. I mean, that's grown. So I'm much less of a, oh my God, they're censoring us. I'm like, I'm going to have my conversation somewhere else. It is an educational issue that people are headline readers. And these are slow processes, but to have Greenwald and Taibbi, and there'll be more. How about Megyn Kelly? Now, she got a huge payday, but Megyn Kelly on the podcast, Unrestricted, is dynamite. She's really good. I was always like, I don't give it. I don't really care too much for her.
Right.
But when she's her unrestricted self, she's a great journalist. She really creates an outstanding product. Now, she's going to get into her own trouble because she's got Legacy Box and other sponsors. She doesn't need a sponsor. I think she got $60 million payoff to leave NBC or CBS.
No, she could just do it for fun.
Yeah, but she's doing it. She's taking it very seriously. Yeah. We have enough uptake. I mean, as you've pointed out, there's at least 40% of the market, of the podcast market, that we can work with. Now, we need a couple of things. First of all, we need to free podcasting from corporate control. This is what's taking place. We can all say it, you know, we can pretend it's not happening. Spotify is the furthest along. Amazon is trying to figure it out. They may never figure it out. Google believes they own it anyway. Because it's on the internet, so it's theirs. iHeartRadio, pathetic attempt at trying to save a company that's leveraged with billions of dollars they can't afford. I'm sorry, it's not going to be a happy ending for them. And left over is Apple, who will probably innovate for, as you've pointed out, Podcast Plus. And we've got Apple TV Plus. We've got all kinds of Plus stuff. So they'll probably do their own version because people believe that they can make money off of a network of shows, which I know doesn't work in this new paradigm. So we, in order to succeed, We have to free podcasting from corporate control. And here's the big one, not for today's show, but we're going to talk about it. Integrate decentralized content with decentralized money.
Yeah.
And through that, we're going to be building a self-sustaining ecosystem for podcasting. You know, the index is kind of running by its own right now because the servers are paid for. You're not paid for. We have Eric back office. He's going to be doing lots of legal stuff. He's not paid for. So we need to have a system. Everybody needs to get a payday or we might as well just all quit. But I believe in my core, we can make this happen. And I love doing these numbers for everybody, and I'll leave it at that because I think we've done it before. There are 100 million podcast listeners in the U.S. That's the IAB statistics. On average, those 100 million people listen to 1 hour a day. 7 days a week, but 1 hour a day people listen. If we can convert 1% of those 100 million people, and the conversion for No Agenda is like 3%. So of all the people we have, we've converted 3% to send us money directly, send actual monetary value, forgetting all the, or setting aside all the things that people do that would cost us money, the pure money. I think we can convert 1% of the 100 million podcast listeners to support the shows they listen to in a frictionless manner. So if we can convert 1% to podcasting 2.0, and we say we value 1 hour of listening at $1 per hour, we're talking about $1 million a day that can flow through to podcasters, app developers, and hosting companies, and a little piece to everybody that is a part of it can participate in this flow. I think we have a way to capture it. It's not going to be easy, but we need a next generation solution for the next problem, for the really the next phase of media. All of this is going to go away. These advertisements, it's all going to change. It's not going to be as successful. Look, they've had 15 years. It's not a $1 billion business yet.
No.
It's not going to be a $1 billion business. YouTube is having an incredible problem right now. You know what their problem is? They need to go up 5% for their quarterly revenue. They have no more content to stick their ads on.
It's all saturated.
They're doing three ad breaks before you see the video. They're showing political ads on children's programming.
It's a reverse inventory problem.
Yes, exactly. They literally don't have the inventory. They've oversold everything, so now they have to start jamming it up everybody's butt. And you know what happens? People go to BitChute. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what happens with when people get sick and tired of Twitter? It's going to be on the blockchain or God knows what. You cannot stop this. You know,
and podcasting will be on the blockchain too.
I have no doubt in my mind. Podcast subscriptions will be on some form of blockchain or DHT space or whatever it is. We will overcome these issues, but we have to be fearless and we have to move ahead with big brass balls, which I love doing.
Shit title. That's shit title.
Big brass balls. I could put it. Instead of "Here Come the Pioneers," "Big Brass Balls." Yeah, that's much better.
Chapter marker.
No, I'm just chapter. Okay, I'll make it as a chapter marker. There you go. That's an even funnier idea. So I'm super excited, and we have work to do. You know, we have to figure out. Dave and I have been working on the decentralized money part, and we cannot wait to show everybody how it works. And you know, we're still finalizing bits and pieces for a proof of concept, which works. But we can't do any of it until we have figured out how to work between tool makers, hosters, app developers, and producers and listeners. We haven't quite closed that loop yet. We really accelerated this week with just understanding the problem and starting to create some fixes for it.
It's got to be something that it's got to be able to touch every person in the chain, from their listener all the way through to the creator. And it's got to also be something that is not controlled by any one person. It's got to be something that we can all, that anybody can lift, drop down on their own system. It's got to be something that's not, we're going to run our piece of it, but it's not going to be something that that's just, you know, the podcast index thing. It's got to be an open spec. It's got to be, because that's the only way it'll survive.
And with that comes, like, we can't even start to talk about it until we figured out how to agree on a namespace element and how to get it implemented and working and tested and iterated and iterated and iterated again. If we can't do that properly with host and guest tags, we're never gonna get anything else done. So yeah. I'm very excited about moving all of these, and I'm focusing purely on the tags where I can, purely on the tags in the namespace. I will do my best to create use cases of these different pieces of functionality, and I will continue to be vocal about the problems I'm having. And I'll add some wish list things in there as well, because, you know, no one asked me.
I will continue to put emojis in podcastindex.social.
Have you been doing emojis?
I've got to stop.
I can't bring myself to do emojis. It's very difficult for me.
I'm out of control.
And whenever you do a smiley face, old school, that always says, "Did you mean this?"
I'm like, no, arrow, I did not tab, mean that.
Arrow key to the right.
All right, I got to do some work.
Yeah.
You better ready to wrap it.
Yeah. Anything else? Is there anything else that we can do for you? Is there something that you need?
I do need sleep. We had storms here a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, that's right. It was getting pretty close to you guys. Another hurricane, bull crap. Yeah.
It hit about 45 minutes south of us, but it was, the wind was screaming up here, and me, none of my family slept.
You can't sleep for that. Yeah. But I'm good. All right, my brother. Happy Halloween. You going out?
Oh, yeah. We'll be taking our little girl out.
Now, I'm going to go dressed as a namespace.
Be the contributor tag.
All right, Dave. Have a great weekend, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you, man.
See you, everybody, on the next Podcasting 2.0.